Welcome to the Bravo Dog Knowledge Podcast. I'm your host, Renee Erdman. I'm a certified behavior consultant and dog trainer and own bravodog.ca. Today, we are talking about trigger stacking, stressors, and threshold. Hey everyone, it's been a little while since I have recorded an episode. Life happens and I've had a couple of curveballs thrown my way. So I've taken a little break, but I'm back. And I thought today I would do a short episode on trigger stacking. So first let's talk about threshold, because I think that when I discuss threshold with clients, they have no idea what that means. So threshold, just to clarify, is where your animal in a circumstance can either be exposed to something that's triggering, potentially triggering or cause anxiety, but it's normalized in the system. It does not cause a reaction. So that would mean that the animal is under threshold. If the scales tip in the opposite direction, and the animal becomes stressed, anxious, triggered by something, that means the animal has gone over threshold. So when we're working with our companion animals, we're always trying to make sure that they are under threshold in as many circumstances as possible. Sometimes that's out of your control, but that's a whole nother topic. So threshold is very important when you're just day-to-day working, living with your dog if you're experiencing reactivity issues. Most animals and organisms can be exposed to things that perhaps are unpleasant, but they can either maintain a normal response, which would mean not overreacting. But it really depends on the animal and it depends on the circumstance. And so ideally, when animals are, you know, we go through life, or organisms go through life, we experience stressors, but we have enough time to recover from them in between. And with humans, we have that choice to, you know, if we've had a stressful day, then maybe we have the choice to decompress. Maybe that's watching Netflix. At least that's what I do. But we are aware of that. And so we can control what we do when we do, for the most part. For animals, that's not the case. So it's up to us to identify first situations that would push our dog over threshold, and then manipulating the environment or changing the environment throughout their day to accommodate for that so that they can decompress from those events. The danger of not being aware of stressors and what causes anxiety in your dog's life is that we can have several events occur within a short period of time that push your dog over threshold, and they stack on top of each other, which is what we call trigger stacking. And you can have a very large event happen, whereas normally, you know, your dog may not react to these singular stressors, but within a short period of time, they stack on top of each other, and it's like the straw that breaks the camel's back. So you have to be very aware of, again, what is causing stress and anxiety in your dog's life or your animal's life, and can I make changes in the environment to prevent trigger stacking from happening? I think there's some debate around, you know, cortisol levels that are expressed in the organism, how long those stay in the system. I've heard that there's a half-life of 5 to 8 hours for cortisol levels to be completely removed or lowered. However, I don't know, you know, you have to think that would mean that no, there are no stressors causing cortisol levels to rise in the animal's life. Daily life. So recovery time is going to be really important for dogs that struggle with reactivity. And those dogs that are constantly stressed or constantly reacting throughout the day, those cortisol levels likely are not going down at all, which is quite scary. Identifying stressors in your dog's life is something that I think we all need a little bit more practice at. And stress is normal, and that's a part of all human lives and animal lives. I think that it's pertinent to keep track of what type of stressors do occur in your dog's life, but also how long does it take them to return to baseline if they're showing stress. So that means you also need to be a really, really proficient in reading body language. Returning back to baseline, a normal homeostasis level when after you've shown stress, recovery time is what I usually call it when I'm working with clients. How fast is it? Can your dog return to that normal steady state under threshold? So once you can identify the triggers in your dog's life, that makes things much easier to manage. And I think that we don't often realize that even just small changes in your dog's routine or environment can cause stress. And if you're worried about trigger stacking, that's important. So it could be as little as visitors coming to the home, a spouse going away on a work trip. All of those things can tip the scales in the opposite direction in terms of your dog dealing with day-to-day stresses. So we can't prevent everything, and I totally get that we can't live in bubbles. But I think that if you know that your dog is going to be exposed to some stressful stuff, then maybe taking them to the groomer and then going to the dog park and then a full day of daycare or something like that is not great within 48 hours. And if you're already experiencing challenges in certain areas like going to the vet clinic or going to the groomer or even just your daily walks, then you're going to want to pay attention to these details. Another piece of this puzzle, if your dog is experiencing reactivity challenges, is going back to not really knowing what may be stressful events for your dogs. You know, people often underestimate that their dogs that are, when they're practicing barking out of windows and barking in the yard and barking in the car at things that are going by, that's still reactivity. And that's going to contribute, unfortunately, to all of that trigger stacking and practicing behavior that you're working to change outside of the home. So you do want to make sure that you've got a plan to prevent that from happening inside the home, in the yard, and also in the vehicle. That sometimes becomes an afterthought is, my dog reacts in the car all the time, and they don't think much of it, but it does contribute to the overall progress that you will or will not make. So make adjustments for that if it's happening. So what do we do if we know that our dog is possibly having incidents with trigger stacking and we need to change things and they're at elevated states during the day and we're looking for them to decompress? Well, I recommend keeping their world smaller for periods of time. If they've had several incidents of trigger stacking or overreacting, going over threshold, then you kind of need to insulate them for a period of time so that they can recover. Things like mental stimulation, doing some fun trick training in the home for food rewards, doing some nose work in the house. All of these types of resources are readily available online that you can check out. As long as you stick to the reward-based stuff, then you're usually going to be in good hands. So what about physical exercise? Because that can be tough. If your dog needs exercise and isn't getting what they need, then that can cause other problems too, right? So seeking out different areas that you can take your dog for sniffing walks. Sniffing walks are excellent. And so what's a sniffing walk? Well, just allowing your dog to lead the walk and sniff everything that they want to sniff. There are options. If your dog needs some real, you know, running, that type of thing, then finding areas that they're not going to be triggered, fields, deserted places, that type of thing. Tennis courts sometimes, even though I think for the most part, you're not supposed to go into tennis courts with dogs. You didn't hear it from me. but sometimes we need to provide them with enough exercise to balance things out. Exercise, though, will not solve reactivity problems. That's a whole nother probably podcast episode about physical exercise. And the recommended advice often is just give the dog more exercise, which is not the solution. It's much more complicated when we're talking about reactivity issues and challenges. So those are some thoughts about if you're trying to promote some recovery time for your dog and decompression. So it was just a short little episode today. I hope it was helpful and maybe gives you a couple of ideas to make changes in your routine to help your dog better cope with stressors and to prevent trigger stacking. Thanks for joining us on today's episode. If you've got a topic idea or you'd like to be a guest, please email us at hello@bravodog.ca. You can also find us on Instagram at Bravo Dog Training, as well as on Facebook at Bravo Dog Training. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you next time.